Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Verse number? Okay. 1:6:20. Is that right? Chapter 6?
Evam yatantam vijane. Mam aha gocharo giram. Gambira shlakshnaya vacha. Shuchak prashamayan eva. Evam yatantam vijane. Mam aha gocharo giram. Gambira shlakshnaya vacha. Shuchak prashamayan eva. Evam, thus, yatantam, one who is engaged in attempting, vijane, in that lonely place, mam, unto me, aha, said, agocharaha, beyond the range of physical sound, Gidam, utterances, Gombira, grave, Shlachnaya, pleasing to hear, Vacha, words, Shuchaha, grief, Prashamayan, mitigating, Eva, like.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all mundane description, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words, just to mitigate my grief. Purport. In the Vedas, it is said that God is beyond the approach of mundane words and intelligence. And yet by His causeless mercy, one can have suitable senses to hear Him or speak to Him. This is the Lord's inconceivable energy. One upon whom His energy is bestowed can hear Him. The Lord was much pleased with Narada Muni, and therefore the necessary strength was invested in him so that he could hear the Lord. It is not, however, possible for others to perceive directly the touch of the Lord during the probationary stage of regulative devotional service. It was a special gift for Narada. When he heard the pleasing words of the Lord, the feelings of separation were to some extent mitigated. A devotee in love with God feels always the pangs of separation and is therefore always enwrapped in transcendental ecstasy. The Lord is choosing to communicate here with His devotee. This is sometimes hard to verify that you're actually hearing God, that God is talking to you. There are maniacs, lunatics, who think that God is telling them to do horrible things. You know, to go out and murder people on the street. God told me to do this. They think that God has talked to them, but it's not verifiable Actually, they're maniacs hallucinating. And many of such people think that God is talking to them. You can go to the psychiatric wards of the hospitals and see so many people to whom God is supposedly talking. What's the difference then? How do you verify that Narada is actually hearing God and he's not just another maniac telling his story, how he heard from God directly? Why is his story verifiable? We don't have stories of maniacs in the Bhagavatam. These are verifiable histories of real devotees. How do we know? Well, you can say we know because it's in the Bhagavatam. But why is it in the Bhagavatam? Let's not just give that answer. Because it's in the Bhagavatam, therefore it's authentic. But how is there any other way to tell? Well, Narada was a very serious devotee. He underwent all the proper sadhana, step by step. He didn't behave like a maniac, like a hallucinating lunatic. He soberly pursued the process of devotional service. And therefore, we can be pretty certain that what he experienced was authentic. Narada is not the person who would make up stories to impress people to become his followers. He's got enough followers. He doesn't need to impress them with made-up stories. And also, he's a gentleman. Gentlemen generally don't boast about their own accomplishments. He's only talking about this for the enlightenment of Vyasadeva, about his own history, his own enlightenment. He wants to enlighten, that means give higher spiritual knowledge to Vyas, so he's telling the story how he himself got the highest spiritual knowledge, directly from the source, from the Supreme Lord himself. Not exactly in person, but by hearing his voice in the sky. Narada is a fit devotee. Narada has the qualification to hear from the Lord. It's actually more important to hear the Lord's instructions than to get his darshan. What will you do with the darshan of the Lord? To be face to face with him? If you haven't been trained up into how to do his service, how to be personal with the Lord and not commit aparads, and to know what to do, what's the use of God coming into your physical presence? You won't know what to do with him, or you'll do the wrong things and commit offenses. So before you get the darshana, better you hear the science of devotional service. You learn it. How to deal with God. Basically, that's the science of devotional service. How to deal with God. Just like Dale Carnegie wrote his famous book, Win Friends and Influence People? Wrote it many years ago, but it's still being read in Hindi even. You can get it in the Mathura train station in Hindi. How to win friends and influence people. How to deal with people. It's a practical science. People who have to do that, businessmen and educators, they have to learn how to deal with people. How to communicate with them in an effective way. How to make good impressions on people. Well, there's a transcendental science. How to deal with God. How to make friends with Krishna and influence him. That's the science of devotional service. How to make the best friend and with your pure love influence him. Not written by Dale Carnegie, but by great devotees like Rupa Goswami. Have taught us this, are teaching us the science of how to deal with Krishna. We have to learn that before we dare to try to approach Krishna directly, or before we can expect that he's going to give us his association. We may march around Govardhan 20,000 times, waiting to see the darshan of Radha Krishna. But what will you do with that darshan? Just something to brag to your friends? You know, I'm an experienced parikramer, and I've gotten the darshan of Radha and Krishna. You should respect me for that. That's all you can do, is get mundane respect. You got a glimpse of Radha and Krishna. Well, what will you do with that? Where's your relationship with Radha and Krishna? Where's your service attitude? Amanina manatina. A real devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't expect honor from anyone. So if you're canvassing for honor and respect from others by advertising how you got the darshan of Radha and Krishna, that's contradictory. That contradicts the proper attitude of devotion. It's an attitude of pride and a selfish desire to acquire a reputation. It just contradicts the proper development of devotional service. Counter-effective. Or as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati phrased it, more important than you see Krishna is that he sees you. He is seeing us. That's why we should be here at 7:15. There were only six of us here this morning at 7:15. Maybe we've seen Nimai Nitai so many times, we know what they look like, we can lie in our bed and visualize them. But the point is, they want to see you. Where are you at 7:15? That's what they want us. They want, they're checking us out. They're looking at us. And you want to be seen by Krishna. Well, Krishna is seeing you. Even if you're lying in your sleeping bag at 7:15, Krishna can see that. He can see through the door. He doesn't have to, we don't have to send spies. Super Soul knows where you're at, where you are. So what does it mean we should be seen by Krishna? He is seeing us all the time, no matter where we are and what we're doing. He doesn't even have to hide around, you know, behind the, you know, the closet to sneak. He's in our heart. He can see from inside. To be seen by Krishna, what's meant by that then is that Krishna takes notice of us, that he's impressed by our attempts. Attempt. Not that we can do anything that Krishna requires. He has no material needs to fulfill, and all we have is material assets. We have no love. We just can offer some things of this world to Krishna for his pleasure. Now we can cook some chapatis, we can collect some money, we can try to encourage people to become his servants, and, you know, and offer those things to Krishna. But Krishna is impressed not by those external shows, but by the devotion that is involved, by the love in the offering. Then he's impressed by our attempt. But Prabhupada uses the phrase here. Or is it in the translation? Yeah. Seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the personality of Godhead spoke to me. Seeing my attempts. So the Lord was attracted to pay attention to Narada's endeavor. Yatantam. Of course, yat means to endeavor, to attempt. The verb doesn't mean that you accomplish anything. This one literary phrase, I don't know the exact words. Yeah, all these years, Mr. So-and-so, Shto Dielal, what was he doing? And the answer is he was doing everything, everything and anything. And Shto Stielal, what did he accomplish? Nothing, almost nothing. He was doing everything but accomplished almost nothing. So to endeavor doesn't mean to accomplish anything. It just means to try. But that's all Krishna demands. He's not asking. He's asking Shto Dielayat, not Shto Stielal. You know, what are you trying to do? Krishna doesn't care whether you accomplished it or not. We care because we're fruitive. Because we have our material mentalities. I got to accomplish something. But Krishna doesn't care about that. He just cares about the attempt, the attitude of trying. He knows it's hard to accomplish things in the material world, that it's hard to live in Govardhan, that it's hard to get along together, but he's looking at the attempt. And then he's speaking in response, giving Narada instructions. Narada didn't have long association with his spiritual masters, the Bhaktivedantas. They stayed for a few months in his mother's home and then they left. And they gave him their vital instructions and probably initiation also, only as they were going out the door. So he didn't get elaborate shiksha from his gurus. There is a deficit there, a deficiency. The Narada didn't get enough shiksha. Now he's a little boy. What does he know? He's in the forest all by himself. They told him how to meditate, so he sat down and meditated. And then the Lord appeared, and then he disappeared, and then Narada doesn't know what to do. They didn't tell me about this. His gurus didn't tell him what to do now. You get the Lord and you lose him. Well, what do you do then? You know, great, I meditate and I can catch the Lord, but then he slips out of my hands. Then what? Nobody told me about what to do in this condition. So how is Narada going to be properly directed? He got inadequate instructions from his gurus because they just weren't with him long enough to tell him everything. Krishna himself makes up for it. Therefore he's speaking, giving vital instructions to Narada. A few verses are going to be spoken that point Narada in the proper direction to complete his sadhana. Don't worry, your guru is too busy. He's got so many disciples and he's running around the world. Don't be so disappointed that you don't get as much personal instruction as you'd like. Or your guru has left this world. Don't be disappointed. If there is a deficit, a deficiency of instruction, Krishna himself will make up for it. Krishna himself will instruct you. There's a story in, I think, the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, I don't remember the name, a brahmachari went to the, I don't remember the guru's name, maybe someone does remember, and he was engaged in, was it taking care of the cows? Yeah, for 12 years. He came to study. You think that we make things hard here. In this ashram, the boy came to study, and the guru sent him out in the field with the cows for 12 years and never invited him to study. You know, that's a real test. And the wife of the guru felt sort of compassionate for him. She said, well, maybe the fires will give you instruction, the sacred fires. And they did. The fires spoke to him all the instructions he needed. And it was the Supreme Lord speaking through the fires, giving the brahmachari the instructions that his guru wasn't giving him. Guru was testing him for so many years and not giving him any education. But the fire, the sacred fires, taught him, talked to him. Who was that? Okay, anyway, it's there. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And then the guru, we came before his guru, and the guru saw, oh, his face is very bright. He must have realized the Brahman. Who taught you? I didn't say anything to you. I didn't teach you anything. And the boy revealed that the sacred fires had enlightened him, had given him instruction. And the guru was pleased. And then he started seriously teaching him. Similar to that, even if we don't have the opportunity to get the shiksha directly from our guru, Krishna himself will do it. Either the way he did to Narada, speaking a voice in the sky, we don't have that happen much today. People who hear voices in the sky are usually diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenic and locked up. Maybe we can expect more normally to hear the voice of the Supersoul within our heart, or Krishna, as the Supersoul, directs our intelligence to understand things with our own mind. Guidance will be given. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena vamupayanti te. To those who are seriously dedicated, I don't have to speak in the sky. I don't have to give them darshan. I just purify their intelligence so they can figure things out for themselves, inspired by me, even in the absence of the instructing gurus. We are told by some that ISKCON cannot direct you in Raghunuga Bhakti. Even some say that Prabhupada couldn't do it, initiate his disciples into Raghunuga Bhakti, and therefore ISKCON is an inferior organization. For that reason, apart from other reasons, that we don't have the shakti to help people enter the higher levels of devotional service. Prabhupada only taught basic things. So what? Your guru, because you weren't ready for it, anywhere near ready for it, never told you the intimate secrets of Raghunuga Bhakti. The holy name will teach you. Krishna himself as a Supersoul will teach you. You don't have to go outside and find a Shiksha Guru to teach you Raghunuga Bhakti. It's there in what Prabhupada gave us, in the holy name, in the Bhagavatam. All the enlightenment we need is available without going outside and getting another guru from outside. Not required. The purpose of our sadhana in ISKCON is to come to that higher stage. Love of God. How many times did Prabhupada say that? That our purpose is to attain love of God. Do you think he's just talking empty words? That he doesn't have any love of God to give us? It's just a false advertisement? You know, make us work hard and collect a lot of money on the false promise of love of God. Do you think that's what Prabhupada did? Or will it just be perpetual sadhakas and perpetual kanishtha adhikaris? Never coming up to a higher level. No, that was not Prabhupada's intention. Prabhupada's intention is that we develop love of Krishna. He announced it so many times that that's our purpose. And he is capable of delivering it, even without being physically present. His books and Krishna's name will teach us, if nobody else. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry if I keep the classes short. You know, Prabhupada would very often just give a 20-minute class, and that was it.
There was another similar story about guru and disciple. I don't know if it occurs in any Upanishad, but it was told to us when we were studying Veda. Similarly, a disciple goes and he wants to be educated in spiritual knowledge, and the guru accepts him, but he doesn't accept him as a full-fledged disciple. He doesn't even allow him to sit with the other students.
Yes.
He doesn't allow him to take the same food the other students are taking. So when he took the same food, then he called him and he said, "You shouldn't eat the same thing. What they are my full-fledged disciples. So you cannot accept that." So what he used to do, he started taking whatever remained, and then even that he forbade. And then he was engaged in services like taking care of cows. And then he started living only on milk, and then he forbade even that. And he started taking only the foam of the milk or something, and even that he forbade. And he started eating some leaves which were available in the trees outside. Even that he forbade. He said they are good for the cows. And then, so he had to find something. So only thing what no animal ate, like cows didn't eat. There was one well in which there was no water, I've seen those plants here. They are those thick plants with fat, thick leaves, and there are it has that white fluid in it, which is very, very fiery. If it falls in the eye goes forever. It cannot. But it's helpful if there are thorns in the feet. Like if there's a thorn and if that liquid is put, then the thorn comes out by itself. It's called Yakkadagida. It has got those flowers, light, pale colored flowers. The whole color of the plant is pale. So there were those leaves. And then actually the guru forbade him to eat anything around the ashram. Anything. Which any bird or anything could live on. Anything in the ashram. So he started eating this in the well, and because of eating this, all his intestines got burnt, and his even he lost his eyes in the process of eating this. So he was there, and he was completely incapacitated. And then the guru comes and sees him in the well, and because he saw his will to, so he was pleased, and then he gave him back his eyes, and he accepted him as a disciple.
Testing him.
Yeah, he was testing him.
Okay.
So and then he said, now you're qualified to study the Vedas because you're committed.
Those are Upanishadic tests. That's how disciples were treated millions of years ago. We don't have to be afraid that we're going to be tested that severely, but we are being tested. We are being tested. We're trying to do something difficult, something that threatens the Kali Yuga, threatens the status quo, what we're trying to do. It's a cultural breakthrough, what we're trying to do, and therefore there's resistance from Maya and testing coming from Krishna. How serious are we about it? Not going to be easily accomplished. The test is there. Any else? Yes.
I had another question.
Myself. Yes, please.
In that story of the sacred fires, the sacred fires spoke the knowledge to him. But I heard that although he heard the knowledge, he was not completely satisfied with the knowledge that he received, and he was completely satisfied only when he heard it from the
same instructions, but he had to hear it from his own guru. Yeah, when you receive instructions from a, let's say, unauthorized Shiksha Guru. You haven't been told, you know, that you can take instruction from this person. You haven't gotten specific permission. You have to go to your... Even when you have received permission, when you hear from another Guru, you have to come back to your Diksha Guru and verify it. He told me this. Is that okay? So therefore, he needed to hear from his own Guru. Just for verification.
I just noticed there was one phrase that Prabhupada used in the purport. Like he seemed like he was describing the stage of Vaidhi. He said the probationary.
Probationary. Yes.
Yeah.
You know what that is?
If I remember correctly, like a probation is when you're like.
Excluded
for some time.
Well, it doesn't have to be negative. It can be positive. That we'll accept you tentatively, but we're going to test, check you, and then decide after some time whether you're actually accepted. That's probation. It's a negative side of it. It's used commonly that, you know, watch out, one more step and you're out. You know, that's also probation. But it's a positive. So you can use the word positively, that we're trying you out and we'll see whether we'll accept you. That's what it meant. Not that Narada is in danger of getting kicked out of devotional service, but he's being checked. He's being looked at whether he's ready for his spiritual body or not.
Yes. It's quite a technical question. I memorized this a similar verse year that ends in a similar way. Like in the 11th canto.
Gambira Shlachnayava, that's the middle of it.
Excuse me?
Shuchak Pashamayaniva?
C'est anartan sa upavraja jrindan janapadan svakan danmo daravaram tejam vishadam samayaniva.
Okay.
Samayan, like in this
Shamayan.
Verse. In this verse, sucha samayaniva. So, I mean, they both mean the same thing, like mitigating or pacifying. But like in Prabhupada's translation of this text from the 11th chapter of the first canto, he says, apparently pacifying the dejection of the inhabitants. Apparently. But
what's the context?
Okay, say, upon reaching the border of his own metropolis, a prosperous metropolis known as the country of the Anartas, Dwarka, the Lord sounded his auspicious conch shell.
The word Iva is there. Prabhupada's translating it literally.
Yeah.
Usually Iva means as if. It's usually contrary to fact. And how would you explain that? Prashamayan Iva. Shuchak Prashamayan Iva. He blew his conch shell, and it sounds like it's saying as if. Well, okay, one way to understand it is that they're not actually in distress. So, because they're only seem to be in distress, they're transcendental devotees, therefore the relief is only apparent because the distress is only apparent.
Like Prabhupada says...
I don't know, but we need to look at the commentaries and see what the acharyas say about that.
Like Prabhupada seems to hint at this at the end of this purport of this verse.
Yes, what is it?
A devotee in love of God feels always the pangs of separation and is therefore always enwrapped in transcendental ecstasy.
Yeah, it's really ecstasy. Mm-hmm. So it's only apparent, only make-believe distress, so it's only make-believe relief of distress. I think that's it. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So in the case that Shiksha is not available, as you said.
Is not?
Shiksha is not available to us.
Oh, if it's not.
Then Krishna will tell us in the heart.
Yes. If, well, what is it? Ananyas chintayam tadami bhuri yogam tam. Tesham eva nikar paratam. If Krishna is inclined to show us special mercy, then that will happen. It doesn't automatically happen.
Yeah. My question is, because usually we verify what we feel that Krishna is telling us with Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, but in this case, we don't have anyone to verify it with. So how we really know? Is it Krishna speaking to us, or?
We should confide in somebody who we can accept as some sort of Shiksha Guru. Informal advisor, if not official advisor, but we have to take advice from some experienced devotee. In that case, we need verification. And, you know, the Diksha Guru is not available for verification and there's no official Shiksha Guru, then you find somebody who can fulfill that role of verifying. And if you can't find one person who's a verifiable verifier, then ask several people. If you can't find someone who you really trust to verify it, then ask several opinions. Just like in India, you want to find somebody's house, best thing to do is ask at least three people. Because they'll send you off in three different directions. So you have to verify by asking several people. When you don't have a reliable person to verify with, then ask more than one. You know, practical means. When you don't have, you know, the ideal source of verification, then manage somehow. If nothing else, ask a lot of people and see how the statistics add up.
I had heard of this account in Mayapur, how that Mataji, she heard that Narsingadev wants to change his eyes.
Narsingadev wanted to change his eyes, yes?
So in that account it was interesting that she first heard that voice and she was not sure if it is Narsingadev. And then it was continuously happening and one day it happened so intensely that ignoring it was not possible. So it's a kind of experience that maybe verifies that it's Krishna speaking. The kind of experience
Did the authorities listen to her? Did they change the eyes?
Yes.
Okay. Just because she was so convinced?
No, actually she went to Pankajangiri Prabhu, and he was sitting there and reading his Bhagavatam, and I think he directed her to Jananivas Prabhu. And when she went and told this, he already knew, and he gave her Mahaprasad and sent. So it seemed like there was some understanding between Narasimhadev and Jananivas Prabhu or something.
Yes, yes. You can, yeah, God can talk to you too. You just have to be capable of hearing Him properly. You got to be fit to hear, and then you can also hear the voice of God.
Вот нас кибалды. Эти коты, the first тишам Ивану Кампартхам, вот тишам Сатата Юктанам. Isn't it that in the context that Krishna makes a condition in the previous verses that Machitam Adgata Pranah Bodhata Parasparam. That's what Tesham and Vano Kampratham.
Yeah, referring back to those devotees.
People who are engaged in a particular way, conversing among one another and discussing my glories.
Satatam.
Right, Satatam. And feeling happy about such exchanges.
Yes.
Is it how we take it? Otherwise it just pops out of the blues, kind of Tesham.
Feeling happy means you have a taste.
And trust in devotees.
Yeah, so you have to have a taste for it. You can't just be doing it superficially by force. You know, I gotta come and hear the Bhagavatam. I don't like it. I'd rather be doing something else. But if I don't do it, I'll be in trouble. Yeah. No, you have to have a taste for it.
Yeah.
And then Krishna is encouraged to give you transcendental intelligence.
Mm. So in other words, that's the condition. If that condition is not fulfilled, we probably shouldn't take revelations of Krishna in the heart of a devotee who is not really committed to associating with Vaishnavas too seriously, is it?
Yes. Yes.
And I want to ask you about...
When our attraction to Krishna is weak, we have to be careful who we take instruction from. Because we may be just directed by our fickle mind to hear from somebody who's going to tell us what we want to hear. We have to be careful in that stage. Until our own intelligence becomes a little strong. We have to be very discriminating whose instruction we follow, whose advice we take.
To which extent do we take this discrimination? Because there was a fashion... certain period of time in ISKCON to accept Shiksha Gurus based on dietary preferences, because the Diksha Guru wouldn't accept ice cream and they would accept... I heard from, I think, Radhanath Maharaj. Oh no, Prahladananda Maharaj.
Ice cream? What?
Yeah, Prahladananda Maharaj was mentioned in his lecture that in certain point of time in ISKCON it was a fashion to accept Shiksha Gurus because Diksha Gurus wouldn't accept ice cream. So devotees wouldn't dare to offer ice cream through his picture. But the Shiksha Guru would accept it, so they would put the Shiksha Guru picture on the altar and offer through him.
Okay.
So in other words, it's
not,
a humorous.
Not advisable to take a guru to promote your own sense gratification. That's guru abuse. Now, not to take you before the Guru Protection Committee for guru abuse.
In other words, I wanted to ask you, based on this example, which is, of course, extreme, sometimes devotees come with a particular answer in the mind and ask questions, even of those who are supposed to be Shiksha Gurus or playing that role, but they ask and again the satisfactory answer and they go over to another one.
Or to somebody else until you get the answer you want.
Until they get the answer.
You want to do something and you want the permission to do it. And you'll go around until you fish the answer you want. That's... Guru Bogi. Trying to enjoy the, you know, use the Guru for your selfish motives. That's Guru Boga. It's the other side of Guru Tyaga. Because you, the one who gives you what you want, you fall at his feet, and the one who tells you what you don't want to hear, you neglect. The Boga and the Tyaga are both going on at the same time.
Short last question.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you have answered it because I missed a big portion of your class. I read Tamal Krishna Maharaj's article, his collection of essays, wonderful essays, called Reason and Belief. And there he analyzed the phenomena of spiritual experience, religious experience. And he quoted many scientists or scholars different in their opinions about what that religious experience is. And he quoted the example of Narada Muni, this very example which you've spoken on. Today, as when he saw Krishna in the heart and then lost the vision and heard him again, and he was trying to explain. I just trying to verify what I heard. If I heard it properly, maybe you could verify that the ultimate criterion of spiritual experience in his explanation is that a person becomes renounced from material world, attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna, and the experience itself, the way it is given at least, is confirmed by the scriptures. Is there any other...
That sounds like strong evidence. Actual detachment, actual attraction to hearing about Krishna, and ability to support your opinions with Shastra. This is a sign of someone who is making good advancement in devotional service, certainly. That means someone whose intelligence is working properly. Yes, please.
Isn't this really a false claim? I mean, of course, it's obvious, but isn't it really a false claim that Prabhupada did not give us Raghunugav Bhakti? Because
it's a cheap excuse to go to somebody else.
Isn't the Srimad Bhagavatam just about rasa and the nectar of devotion?
Yes.
Full of rasa. All the books he gave is...
We have the Rasa Shastra. We have the original. All the other ones are just based on Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. That's the original Rasa Shastra.
So if you're really into Raghunuga Bhakti, you'll be studying intensely the Srimad Bhagavatam that Prabhupada gave, because it's...
Yeah. If you haven't, you should. Because you're not ready to move on to other things until you do that first.
And also, isn't not the nectar of devotion just dealing with that? Like, most of the book is just Raghunuga Bhakti.
Yes.
The first part is sadhana, then the rest is...
Most of it is beyond sadhana, yes.
Yeah, even beyond Raghunuga Bhakti. So, if once... Yeah, because it talks about Prima Bhakti.
Okay.
Because I understand that Raghunuga Bhakti is still in the practice
beyond
of sadhana.
Beyond the practice, it's even describing the perfection. Yes.
Yeah. So, if one studies deeply nectar of devotion, he has all he needs.
But we have to be convinced that these books will give us that knowledge, will give us that realization, and will bring us to Krishna. We have to believe in the books. If we don't think we should spend our time looking at those books, that means we don't believe in them. We believe in some other books or in some something else on a CVD, DVD, something else we want to watch or listen to, because we don't have faith that those books that Prabhupada gave us give everything we need. But we're looking elsewhere because we don't believe that these books are effective. They're just something we sell to pay the rent. We don't really believe that this is the revelation of the absolute truth and the establishment of our connection with Krishna is through these books. If we are lacking that conviction, we have to work on it. We have to become more convinced. Okay. I thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.